Well, grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. A cup of cold water. This might sound like such a little thing, but it really isn't. I mean, that little word that we have here in the gospel for today, cold, is says an awful lot, I think, about Jesus' ministry, as well as, I think, our own ministry here at St. Paul. I mean, he could have just as easily said a cup of water, but he specifically added that other word and said a cup of cold water. So what's the big deal? I mean, we can get a cup of cold water pretty much any time we ever want to have one. I mean, at home, it's easy for us to simply go and turn on the tap and let it run for a minute or two. Or we can get it right out of the refrigerator. At work, at school. You can't yet here at church. you can get it from one of those water fountains or maybe a cooler that happens to be there. If you go to a restaurant and you sit down, you can get a glass of cold water from your waiter or your waitress. It's the one beverage that you generally don't have to pay for, and often you don't even have to ask for it. It's usually or oftentimes brought to you. And yet getting a cup of cold water was really a big deal, especially back in Jesus' day. Think about it. Drinking cold water would have been a rare pleasure for people at that time. It didn't happen all that often, and so when it did happen, that was just the water just tasted so good. Drink a cup of cold water would have meant that someone had gone to an awful lot of trouble for you. It would have meant that they would have first had to go down to the village well. And most often, the water would have been drawn very early in the morning hours, usually from someone in the family, one of the women or girls in the family. And they would have walked down and then filled a clay jar and then returned back, sort of staggering to the house again with it balanced up on their head. And then this woman would have set that heavy clay jar in a rather shady place somewhere in the house and let it rest there for a while. However, you know, of course, as the hours of the day went by, the chances are that most of that coolness and that freshness and that crispness of that well water would have started to fade. And by late afternoon, the time that people would have been thirsty around dinner, it would have probably been lucky if that water was at room temperature. Of course, in a first century Palestinian house where thick walls might have delayed the temperature changes that could happen, I'm sure that it didn't stop it from happening. And so, therefore, the house was probably about at its hottest by late afternoon to early evening. So if someone was going to give then a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, it would have meant then that they would have had to get up, make another special trip down to the well, and come back with fresh, cool water. A special trip, a special effort that was meant for honoring a special guest. So it was not a small thing when you stop to think about it at all. In this morning's gospel reading that we have here, this little teaching of Jesus wraps up this 10th chapter now of John's gospel, which is wholly devoted to Jesus's parting instructions that he has to his disciples just before they are supposed to head out to begin preaching the word, healing the sick, casting out demons and generally trying to convince everyone who they meet that both the love and the judgment of God is closer than they might actually think. Now, if you've ever left home, say on a major undertaking of a kind, such as maybe going off to college or enlisting maybe in the military or moving halfway across the country to take up a new job, well, it may be that whoever you left behind had a few parting words of instructions to help you out. And if that happened to be your mother that was the one doing it, well, then likely she would have dispensed this kind of advice. And you know, I think, how it all goes, right? Make sure that you don't go out of the house on a winter day without your hat and gloves and scarf on. Never mix whites and colors in the washing machine. Don't give in to peer pressure. And of course, always remember to wear a clean pair of underwear just in case you end up in the emergency room. However, Jesus' advice to his disciples here is of a slightly different kind of order. These are true believers who are on a mission, bringing the good news of the gospel to a hurting world. And yet his words to them are parting in advance are much the same. Jesus says to them, "Preach and teach and heal with boldness. If people in one village want nothing more to do with you, well, then don't waste your time there anymore. Move on to the next village. Travel light. Be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And when things get really bad, and they will, people may hate you. Even your own family and relatives may hate you. But remember this, they could kill the body, but not the soul." Now, isn't that encouraging? So with these and similar kinds of words of wisdom, Jesus now equips his disciples for their bold, risky, and important journey that they need to take. They are going to be the advanced men and women for the coming reign of God. And the Lord's little ones, well, these are the people whom the disciples are being sent out to minister to. And Jesus has just been warning these disciples what a tough world it is out there, and how they are going to be spurned and rejected in some of the villages that they go to, but in others, they will be warmly received. Therefore, they'll never really know what is in store for them. So they've just got to simply go and find out for themselves, trusting God every step of the way. But then Jesus turns to the larger population, to the larger crowd that's there, and gives them now some fair warning as well. If you welcome me, you welcome God who sent me. If you welcome a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If you welcome a righteous person, well, then you will receive the same reward that a righteous person would receive. And then he offers his encouragement about giving a cup of cold water to these little ones. So right away, there seems to be this ethic of reciprocity that is taking place. The disciples are going out to share the greatest gift that they can offer the world, the good news of salvation. And they are offering this gift for free. Now, some people that they will meet will spurn this gift. It will throw it right back in their face. And others will accept it. But then they'll probably drop it as soon as they move on, sort of like one of those restaurant handbills that are handed out and end up littering the city sidewalks. And some will say, okay, here's a drink from the old clay water jar, if you still want it at this time of the day. And finally, though, every once in a while, someone will say, here, this is for you. This is a cup of cold water. I just went down to the well and got it fresh for you. So unfortunately, so many of the gifts in the world these days are given according to the ordinary calculus that we have of human values. They're merely a positive reinstatement of that ancient criminal code, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, you take care of me and I'll take care of you. You scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. You do something for me that is deserving and you will get from me what you deserve. A cup of ordinary water from the household jar. It's all anyone is really entitled to. And even that word itself, when we stop to think about it, entitlements, has become a very touchy subject these days, hasn't it? I mean, if you listen at all to some of the debating going on between our two major political parties, that's pretty much all that you hear them ever talking about, whether it is about teachers' pensions here in the state of Michigan, or about the SNAP program, or the Medicaid benefits, or even the PPP that's coming out of Washington, D.C., or even some of those struggling foreign nations, which are, we ask whether are deserving to be bailed out of a monetary crisis. It's all really about entitlements. And if we're truly honest, most of our sense of entitlements that we have extend even to our own charitable actions. Isn't it true that much of the help that we are willing to give to a needy person assumes that that person is not really entitled to that help? Okay, Mr. Panhandler, if you are really that thirsty, well, I've got this half-empty bottle of water that I've got with me now, and I'll give it to you. Now, I've been drinking from it all day, but, don't worry about it. It's still pretty good. And, oh, yeah, it's a little warm right now because it's been sitting in my hot car for the last hour or so. And, oh, yeah, there is a few little crumbs that are floating around in there, but they won't hurt you because I just had a sandwich for lunch, that day. But you can have it. Here, have a nice day. So cups of cold water may not be as common today as we might actually think. In fact, they may be just as rare today as they were back in Jesus' day. Amen.